Every night, I laid a sweatshirt and at least one pair of jeans out on our balcony. Every night we were in Greece, traveling with a group from my seminary, I would lay clothes out on the balcony. It was almost 20 years ago, and as restrictions were beginning to be more widely put in place to regulate the smoking of cigarettes here in the U.S., that was not necessarily the case in Greece. And so almost everywhere that we went while we were there, even inside, we encountered at least one person smoking. I was never a fan, so I would hold my breath as a cloud drifted my way, hoping not to inhale what was inevitably passing through. But every night, as we arrived back to our non-smoking hotel room, I could smell the stale smell of cigarette smoke clinging to my clothes as if it had grown tendrils and stretched them out toward every fiber of my sweatshirt and jeans and then taken hold. Every night, even as if we had last encountered a smoker well over 6 hours before, still the residual smell of smoke clings so closely as I changed for bed. And because I had a limited number of clothes for the trip, no access to laundry facilities, and didn't want to have to deal with having to wash my clothes in the sink of our hotel room, every night I would drape my top layer, often a sweatshirt, and jeans over the balcony of our hotel room, hoping the fresh air would move through them and pry those tendrils of smoke out before the next day. It is that pervasiveness, that stubbornness of the smoke as it clung to me and my clothes that I think of when I consider the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just as it was for the early church, as evidenced in today's story from Acts. Something they were only beginning to realize in this new post-resurrection world. As we followed the story of the apostles and the other believers these past couple of weeks, once Jesus was resurrected and they settled into a new faith life, there was much to sort out about how to be church, including what was required of those who committed themselves to the faith. Much of the early church were converts from the Jewish faith. I mean, of course, Jesus himself was Jewish. And they brought their patterns of worship and life with them into this new faith practice. So it's no wonder that certain individuals came down from Judah and were teaching the brothers, unless you were circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. It seemed reasonable to these Jewish Christians that if you were to commit yourself to following Jesus, you would commit fully with everything that you have, including your body. Yet there were others, including Paul and Barnabas, who disagreed. That to be circumcised was not an essential part of being a follower of Christ, and those who had come to the faith from other traditions, those who were Gentiles specifically, would not need to undergo such an extreme measure. The question for the early church was, which of these two diametrically opposed viewpoints was what God wanted? Was what was required of believers? And this is when I begin to think about my smoke-laden clothes in Greece, about how pervasive that smoke was, how it swirled around me no matter where I was, and followed me home even if I wished for it to go away. That smoke reminding me of the pervasive nature of the Holy Spirit because of what I tell our preschool students and what I just told our young people in the children's sermon. That when we light a candle at the start of preschool chapel or we light candles here in worship, we remember that God is with us right here, right now. But then at the end, when we change the light into smoke, and I tell them that the smoke goes out, that it goes wherever they will be, it goes home with them or maybe into the next room, I tell our preschoolers it goes to the playground, the outdoor classroom, or if they're needing to be inside, their indoor classroom. And now I tell you it goes to the store, the office, or wherever you may find yourself later today. That smoke may not physically go to all those places, but it reminds us that God does. That God swirls around us, sometimes unseen, and is already present in all the places that we are. Much like the smoke that found its way into my clothes every day in Greece. It reminds me that God is already in every part of our lives and every place that we could ever find ourselves. And that it's in all people. All the places that all people reside, never discriminating between the people who occupy those places, permeating everything. Even people in places that we think are outside of God's purview. Because really, there is nothing outside of God's purview. Much like what Peter realized in the early days of the church. Because even though it was Paul and Barnabas that went to Jerusalem to argue for a more expansive way of following Jesus, it is Peter, through his own conversion, who ultimately makes the council see what God had already intended. It is Peter who, in a dream, realized several chapters before this that God did not want those who were not Jewish, that God did not want the Gentiles, to be excluded from the faith. And it's Peter who realizes that God does not wish these particular requirements to be placed on new believers. The God who knows the human heart testified to the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as God did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, God has made no distinction between them and us, Peter says. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. Just as smoke is pervasive and does not discriminate, neither does the Holy Spirit. It moves and goes wherever God wants, filling not only our hearts, but the hearts of others as well. Peter recognized this, and that the early church just needed to catch up to what God was already doing. And this morning, maybe we do too. I can't help but wonder who it is for you, who you think might be outside God's bounds, and yet in whom the Spirit might already be at work. Who is it that you've dismissed for not being worthy of the faith, or have placed equally difficult burdens to be faithful? And yet in them, God is already at work. Or maybe you have felt that way, that you have been the one excluded from God's grace, mercy, and love. And if not feeling excluded by God, but rather excluded by the church. All of those people who come to mind, whether it's yourself or someone else, all of them, all of you, have been caught up in the swirling, pervasive Holy Spirit who moves and breathes life into us. There is no distinction with God. And I suspect that God is up to some amazing things and some amazing people that we may not consider. And we only need to open our eyes to see the ways that God is already at work in them. Catching up to the vision of the world, God has been hard at work manifesting in our lives and in this world.